Bless, O Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength
and our Redeemer. Amen. I've mentioned him before, but the great Franciscan priest and author Richard Rohr wrote an extraordinary book called The Universal Christ. In that book, he explores this concept of what he calls the great comma in the Apostles' Creed. It's in that Apostles' Creed where we recite these words: He was born of the Virgin Mary, comma, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Rohr says that contained within that comma is Jesus' entire earthly ministry. And in this ancient creed of the church, there's nothing said there. I don't believe this was just an oversight of the early church. I recently listened to two Christian writers on a podcast discuss the rocks of the faith, those they believe that all Christian denominations and traditions could agree upon. And these were what they said: Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and resurrected. I listened to them and I wonder, well, what about his time on earth, aside from the fact that he was killed? What happened between this identity as God's Son and his destiny to be crucified, buried, and then resurrected? What about all the 33 years he walked this planet, of which three of those he spent in nonstop teaching and healing and preaching? Perhaps those they mentioned are the commonly agreed upon because, well, we tend to fight about what Jesus taught and what he really meant and what it all means today. The Beatitudes are one of those seminal teachings which have been taught in so many ways, and you've heard Sarah recapitulate some modern adaption language that helps us to modernize what Jesus said. But in some ways, the way they have been taught and understood is with the great comma. Blessed are the poor in spirit, comma, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, comma, for they will inherit the earth. Some of the identities that we read about here are of situations of suffering. Others are situations of how people are dispositioned to the world. But what happens between the identity and the destiny? The Christian life is more than just weathering the hardships or keeping our heads low or waiting for our dying day. And yet, sometimes as Christians, we do tend to act like we're waiting it all out. What happens in the space between our identity as claimed by God's children, saved by Christ's love for us, and our eternal destination? Are we rewarded solely based on what we have done? What is in that space between? The space between being poor in spirit and seeing the kingdom of heaven realized, the space between mourning and being comforted, the space between being meek and inheriting the earth, the space between hunger and thirst for righteousness and then being filled. What happens in that space between? Well, I think when we look at the Beatitudes, perhaps what we need to do is to take Jesus' life and put that right there. You see, in many ways, this Jesus is the person here he's describing. His is the life that reflects all these attributes. And he is the fulfillment. But in the space between, he is at work. He is at work right now. He's at work amongst us. He's at work in the world. He's not just weathering the hardships. He's not just keeping his head low. He's not just waiting for our dying day. He's at work right now. If we look back at the original historical context, the Beatitudes were delivered to a people who were to define a movement within a nation that would look very different than the world around them. Very much, the world around them looked very much like what Sarah just said. The social elite in Jesus' time would have generally been considered the blessed. Jesus turns this all on its head. He teaches them time and again that those who seem to have life by the tail have already received their reward. And yet, sadly, they are missing out on experiencing the fullness of life that God intends for all people. Those who are not satisfied either materially or socially or spiritually in this life, well, they yearn for more, to see God's reign fulfilled. But they don't wait idly by. They get active in the space between. The fullness of life that Christ designs and desires for us is found in that space where we are claimed and then we yearn for the future revealing of the reality of God's kingdom here on earth. And in that space, the Spirit is at work, powerfully moving us. There's a great word, the word vocation. You know it. Many of you may use it to describe the work you do Monday through Friday. But the word is complex. It comes from the Latin vocare, voice. It's been used to mean calling. It also means our work, what we do. Our Christian vocation is our calling, yes, but it is the work we are called to do as well. Jesus invites us into the space between with him. The space between where we understand that our identity is not found in this world by its standards, by its structures, by its ways of conducting itself. But it's also not just about looking at the future and saying, I'm going to just wait on that. Jesus came to show us how to be fully active and engaged in this life, in this world, in these dimensions. He will go on to talk about salt of the earth. That salt is to be utilized for the flavoring of the kingdom in this life, in this world. Not just for some other time in the future or some heavenly reality. And the last part of this, the Beatitudes, I think comes in the summary statement. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. That cannot happen if we are silent. That will not happen if we sit by and let the world go on as it always has. You see, when we get engaged, when we start to live the great comma between our identity and our destiny, then we see friction with the world systems. We see ourselves as agents of God standing in the breach for people who have no voice. We start to tell them there is going to be comfort. There is a place for you in God's kingdom. There is going to be satiation of your hunger and your thirst for righteousness be fulfilled. And that's not going to go over too well with everyone. It's going to unsettle systems of power. It's going to threaten the way we've always done things. It is going to be something that's going to rock the world. And yet, that's what Jesus came to do. When you find yourself in a situation where you are standing up boldly for Christ, when you are declaring, no, I believe that God has claimed and called me to declare the truth, to promote righteousness, to exhibit the kingdom of heaven in this world, I want you to know God's love for you. Beyond division, beyond hatred, I want you to join me to be a peacemaker. I want you to join me in asking God to create in me a pure heart. That's a wonderful thing. wonderful thing. Because I believe in the space between identity and destiny is where witness is, where we witness to what the world is supposed to be. And we live that witness boldly, with action, with devotion to God, and with dedication to one another. On the day in which we find ourselves persecuted, people speaking bad things about us, calling us naive, telling us to get real, well, on that day, friends, we can rejoice and be glad. For our reward is great in heaven, but it's not just about being in heaven. It's about living the life right here. The heavenly reality out right here. And then we join the prophets who were before us, who spoke boldly to people of power and kings, who were not afraid, who bridged their identity with their destiny with a bold witness. This is Black History Month that we've embarked upon. And I encourage you to perhaps look over some saints from our past who have spoken boldly about civil rights and other issues that still go on today around the world. How are we called from our identity to our destiny in that space of witness for the sake of others who have no voice yet, who are the meek of the earth, who are those who mourn? They're all around us if we just have the eyes to see them. God will call us, I believe, to a new understanding of our witness as we dedicate ourselves to trusting in the power at work always in us. Today, consider your identity claimed by God through Jesus Christ. Know that is who you are. Claim your destiny as one who has tasted the cup of salvation and knows it. And claim that witness between, where you show forth the goodness of God in the land of the living, so others may taste and see that the Lord is good. Thanks be to God, through whom Jesus Christ showed us the living witness that bridges our identity and our destiny. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.